Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 199 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Wow, let me tell you something. Last week was a short, condensed podcast. I like to keep it short and sweet. Some of you like that. Some of you don't. Some of you ask me to expand. Well, this week, holy shit, we got a lot to talk about. I got a lot to talk about. So let me just get right into it. We're shooting again. Sutherland Springs Church in Texas, another mass shooting, 26 people killed, a gunman by the name of Devin Kelly, dressed up in gear, took a assault-type rifle, and I know the gun people would say there's no such thing as an assault-type rifle, but that's what we commonly cause them because we're not experts. Respect to experts, but we're not. So I'm going to use the term that's commonly used, and open fire. And he killed 26 people in the church, including a whole family of six. Children were killed, the pastor's 14-year-old daughter. I mean, just the usual horror that goes with a random mass murder like this. People went to church, and this was small town America. They said there were families that lived in this town that could trace their history, you know, back 100 years or more. It was, you know, they all knew each other. It was one of these towns. It was one of these towns like, you know, on TV or in a movie where the parents take the kids to the same, you know, football field or basketball court that they grew up playing on, and everybody knows each other and blah, 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 and not immune, totally not immune. Horrible. Now, cue the music. And this happened, it's happening in record time now. Cue the music. Let's play the same old bullshit. We'll start with thoughts and prayers. Then we'll say it's no time to talk about guns. Don't make this a political issue. It's not a gun issue. It's a mental health issue. Assault-type weapons are fine. We just need more guns. If good people carried guns, they could stop bad people from carrying guns. And, you know, you don't even have to write it anymore. Just cut and paste the story from the last mass shooting, which was a month ago. So now we're back on schedule. We're doing these monthly. I do not mean to belittle or dismiss the horror of this shooting. It's the ridiculous aftermath. In record time, I saw the shit on Twitter where you know, the right is attacking the left and the left is attacking the guns and right, you know, and you're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. No, fuck you. No, fuck you. I mean, literally, next it's going to happen while the bullets are being shot. While the bullets are being shot, the people will be having these bullshit fights, and it's all bullshit. You know why? Nothing's going to get done. Nothing's going to change. Donald Trump was in Tokyo, and he sent, you know, his thoughts and prayers, because you gotta send thoughts and prayers right away. And he said, this is a terrible thing, and he's monitoring the situation from Japan. Japan, where, interestingly, fewer people were shot to death in the past 5 years than were gunned down in one day at that church. Now, I had somebody on Twitter say that they know my gun stance and we can't get rid of all weapons, okay? And my stance has never been get rid of all weapons. My stance is responsible gun ownership and liability and, oh, some common fucking sense. But let's just take a look at Japan and what it takes to get a gun, okay? Because this guy, this Sutherland shooter, Patrick Kelly, dishonorably discharged from the Air Force, served 12 months in confinement for assaulting his wife and child, and he was allowed to buy a gun, you know, in Texas. Now, keep in mind, in Texas and in many other red states, if you're black, and someone whose name was spelled similar to yours got a ticket for littering back in 1987, your ass can't vote. But this clown, this fucking asshole, dishonorable discharge from the Air Force, and 12 months in confinement. And apparently, he missed the cutoff by one day. Like, if he had been confined or in jail, whatever, one more day, he wouldn't have been allowed to buy a gun. So they got him out just in time to exercise his freedom. Because it's all about freedom, America, some bitch, freedom. Which I was just talking this weekend with someone about freedom. And we know it's a beautiful propaganda word because there's no way to measure freedom. You just tell people, them some bitch gonna take away freedom. And they get scared and they panic. But anyway, in order to get a gun in Japan, this is what an applicant must go through. First of all, you can't have a handgun or a rifle, okay? You can't have shotguns for hunting or skeet shooting. Now, there's a four-month screening process. Then the class, you have to go to class, start out with class for gun safety, maintenance, proper loading and unloading. You have to pass a written test. Now, you pass the written test, now you go to the shooting range and you learn to shoot. Then there's a proficiency and safety test. Next, a drug test, a mental health exam at a medical facility. Now you get your certification that you're mentally stable, drug-free and trained. Then the police do a background check to ensure that neither the applicant nor the applicant's relatives have criminal records. Finally, the police investigate to see whether the applicant is a member of any potentially violent groups. Now, I'm not saying we have to go to that extent. Of course, we never would, but we could ask, maybe. We could do some sort of background check or have some sort of training. Again, we do it for cars. We do it for a driver's license. Now, granted, the test is ridiculously easy, but you do have to take a written test, and then you have to take a driving test. And hopefully, some point between, you take driving lessons. That ain't freedom. This here in America. So, it's, again, nothing's going to be done. Look, this guy, a week before the killing, bought his weapon, posted a picture on Facebook, and said, look at this bad bitch. This is a bad bitch. Now, let's talk about Facebook for a minute, and I'm going to get back to this shooting shit, but Facebook, of course, not liable for anything. All right, Facebook, you're in Congress now. You're responsible for these Russian ads and Russian propaganda, and you know nothing. We don't know who places the ads. We don't know anything. You really? Facebook, you don't know? Let me tell you something. If I fucking think about buying something, I start getting ads on Facebook. My car needs tires. I just said that out loud. My car needs tires. I promise you, I'm going to get ads for tires. I'm going to get ads for snow tires. And I live in Los Angeles. I'm going to get discount tire ads. I'm going to get tire installation ads. I'm going to get mounting and balancing. And I haven't done a search. I just said it out loud. And you know that fucking Alexa heard me. You know Alexa heard me. And Alexa's telling Google. And Google's telling Facebook. And here come the ads. Yet, they don't seem to know who placed Russian ads. As Al Franken said, when they're paid for with fucking rubles, which he didn't say fucking rubles, but I know he was thinking it because Al Franken is brilliant. I don't know if there's a better senator at questioning these corporations and nominees and idiots than Al Franken. Like that, he should be that guy. He should be the guy in charge of questioning any of these liars. Is Facebook bad? Is Facebook evil? No. But there is a responsibility when you're a multi-billion dollar corporation that is based on information. And make no mistake, that's what Facebook trades in. They make their money based on information. They track what we do, what we look at, what we post, etc. They sell it to advertisers and politicians and political parties and blah, blah, blah. And they know where the money's coming from because the money's definitely coming in. So Facebook, yeah, if you have some guy who, and you know all of this information on Facebook. So if you have some guy who was arrested for assault and he posts some kind of crazy fucking weapon, you should have something. Yeah, I'm calling you out. You should have something that fires some kind of red flag. Are we going to get rid of guns? This is another argument I love. I got this one on Twitter. There's 200 million guns and we can't ban all weapons. Now, the same people who say we can't ban all weapons somehow figure we can ban all Mexicans. We can ban all Muslims. We can throw 12 million Mexicans out of the country tomorrow. I'm sorry, Mexicans. I meant illegal aliens. Of course, they'll sort out those illegal aliens and the white European ones will somehow stay. But we could do that in a week. Can't get rid of guns. But we can get rid of 12 million Mexicans without the price of farm goods going up. Yeah, they absolutely believe that. Guns, impossible to get rid of 200 million guns. So what you need is a good guy with a gun to stop the bad guy with a gun. You think I make this shit up? You know better than that. The Attorney General of Texas, a man named Ken Paxton, the day of a mass shooting in a church, said mass shootings can be prevented if more people carry concealed guns. How many times does this have to be proven wrong? In Orlando, when we had that mass shooting in a nightclub, there was a policeman in the club. There was an officer trained to use a gun who had a gun who didn't stop it. So let me get this straight, Paxton. You think if everybody in just, all you got to do is carry a concealed gun to church. That's all. And you know, arm the kindergarten teachers. We got to get them some. And you know, why stop at handguns? Damn it. Why conceal them? Why not everybody just go to church with an AR-15 strapped on their back? How about that, Mr. Goodby? We'll just take it a step farther. It is unfucking believable. Unfucking believable. But no, it's not. It's just this week's shooting. That's all. That's all it is. We did have a terrorist attack in New York. You know something? It's so ridiculous. Like, our news cycle, our insanity cycle is so fast. There was last week a terror attack in New York that doesn't even stay in the news because on the weekend we have a mass shooting at a church in Texas. So Saifullah Saipov, whatever, a terrorist, rented a truck, drove it up a bike path in New York. He killed 8 people, injured 12 more. And, you know, he was caught. He was arrested. He'll be charged with terrorism, et cetera, et cetera. He yelled out, you know, his Allah phrase. He's a member of ISIS, or at least, you know, a wannabe member of ISIS. ISIS, congratulations. It's a straight up terror attack. But you know what's beautiful? You know how New York responded? With a successful New York marathon on the weekend. That's right. Fuck you, terrorists. We don't stop because of you. Okay. Horrible. There were Belgian nationals killed. People who weren't even American were killed. But we don't stop for terrorists. Okay. So kudos to New York City for bouncing back within days and running the New York Marathon and it being a huge success. It's horrible. It's horrible. And this is a terrorist attack. You know, the church was a terrorist attack. The country music concert last month was a terrorist attack. Stop pretending that it's worse because it's done by a Muslim. Okay, he didn't kill as many. That's, are we going to keep fucking score now? Is that how we, I don't know. Sorry, got a little fucking fucked up there. Back to our regular scheduled programming of, let's go back to idiocy. Let's go back to just, told you this one was going to be longer. Donna Brazile, the former leader of the Democratic Party, and did a beautiful move last week to help the Republicans. You see, this was the week of the indictments, and Manafort was indicted, Gates was indicted, and Papadopoulos, or whatever the fuck his name is, you know, confessed about lying to the FBI, and you would think the Democrats would say this is a win. We found some of the money that came from the Ukraine was hidden by Manafort, which could lead one to believe that there was Russian influence involved, blah, 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 blah. But why stick to that story when Donna Brazile, the former leader of the DNC, can come out with the story about, yeah, Bernie got railroaded by Hillary and Hillary's people, and there was might have been Russian collusion and blah, 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 and whatever. You know something? The Fox News couldn't have done better. They couldn't have done it better. Sean Hannity was dancing, which is a visual nobody needs. Nobody needs to think about Sean Hannity dancing, but you know he was, because 3 days after the indictments and when the right wing is trying to, you know, change the topic away, and maybe Mueller is going to get fired, but they can't fire Mueller because his investigation's getting hot, et cetera, et cetera. Donna Brazile comes out, say, hey, look at Hillary and Bernie. Why? What is this fascination, this thing? Let me tell you something. The Republicans, okay, and I've said this before, I'll say it again. I admire them for the way they operate. Now, there are a lot of Republicans that don't like Donald Trump. It's coming out more and more. Republican congressmen, Republican senators, Republican governors, at state level politicians, et cetera, saying Donald Trump is wrong, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? They got him in office. They got, and you know what that means? That means that they have the House and the Senate, and they got the presidency. They got a crazy ass vice president, right? And they got to put the Supreme Court justice in. That's right. Because the Democrats couldn't get their shit together. And I do blame Barack Obama for this one, for not saying we will shut down the fucking government until you look at our Supreme Court nominees. So they let it go to the next election because they just knew Hillary was going to win, and she didn't win. So the Republicans got the Supreme Court nominee. And now, God bless Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because if she does not live to the end of the Trump presidency, they're going to get the majority in the Supreme Court. Now, let's take a look at that, okay? While you're looking at, oh, well, Hillary cheated Bernie. While you're looking at that, if they get the Supreme Court, do you understand they can change the Constitution? Do you think I'm being too dramatic? Fuck no, I'm not being too dramatic. They know what they're doing. They could literally change the Constitution. Abortion could go out of the window. Gay marriage, oh, forget about that. Mike Pence wants camps to re-educate the gays. The Civil Rights Act, gone. Piece by piece, they'll take it apart. They've already started doing it. Why? Because they'll claim, oh, well, it asks for racial quotas, and that's racism to ask for racial. We got to shut that down. Voting Rights Act, out of the window, et cetera, et cetera, because they'll control the Supreme Court. Do you understand? Is this a Christian nation? They could make it one. They could get rid of Donald Trump. We could have President Pence and then have a Christian nation, and they could do it all legally. But Ms. Brazile, you guys just keep arguing about, because I know somewhere you have the secret Wayback Machine. Okay, kids, you're not old enough to remember this from cartoons, but they had the Wayback Machine where you go back in time, and this is what they're going to do. They're going to go back in time, see, and they're going to get rid of Hillary, and they're going to nominate Bernie, and then everything will be fine because, sure, America will vote for a socialist Jewish guy from Brooklyn. Yeah, that'll happen. Listen, let it go. Let it go. Does anybody in the Democratic Party understand that we are 1 year away from the midterm elections and they must win? Will they win? I don't think so. I honestly don't. I don't think the Democrats are going to get back the House or the Senate because there's an old saying, crabs in a bucket. They're crabs in a bucket pulling each other down. Every time one crab starts crawling up, the other crabs are going to pull them down. Now, Cenk Uygur and the Young Turks, I love the Young Turks. I have learned much appearing on the Young Turks occasionally. They are way farther left than I am. But their arguments and their talk about corporate Democrats and Democrats being weak fighters, et cetera, the Hillary campaign and the organization of the DNC against Bernie, they're right. They're right. But it's not the fight to have. This is my belief. I don't think we have that fight until you put the Democrats in power. What they need to do, what the Democratic Party needs to do, is listen to the Young Turks. Listen to the extreme left. Give them a voice. Hillary ran a terrible campaign and she lost. You got to make that promise. You got to let Bernie know he's going to be in. Just like when Barack Obama got elected, Hillary became the Secretary of State. You know there were backdoor deals made. Ms. Brazile, fuck off, okay? Fuck off, because you're just doing this as a money grab and you're full of shit, okay? You're mad at Hillary and Barack Obama for taking money from Wall Street, so you throw them under the bus and hurt the Democratic Party in the week of the fucking indictments so you can sell books? Yeah, fuck you, okay? And look, I'm a Democrat attacking Democrats. Why? Because I'm a good Democrat. That's what good Democrats do. Ronald Reagan said that the 11th commandment or 13th commandment, or one of them numbers he added, no Republican shalt not attack another Republican or something. They put shalt nots in there. Yeah, well, that don't apply to Democrats because I'm a... Fuck. The worst thing for Democrats is a Democrat. I've said it before. I say it again. I may become a Republican so I can do less damage to Democrats. But sorry, you wanted a longer podcast. This is what you get. Okay, attempting to move on. And this was great. So there was a customer service guy at Twitter who lost his job. And on the way out, just went ahead and deactivated Donald Trump's Twitter account. See, for 11 minutes, there was no Donald Trump Twitter account. You remember last week when you strangely felt a peace come to the force? You just felt so. You just went, and you weren't sure why. Well, that was why. Because this guy shut down Trump's Twitter account for 11 minutes, and it was a beautiful thing. Now, he's going to get in trouble. Okay, there's Mika Zenko, a foreign policy national security analyst of an International Affairs Institute, blah, 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 which sounds like one of those jobs that Papadopoulos had that you just make up. But he's like, amazing that that could happen. It shows that Twitter has poor insider threat controls. And another guy said, what if someone had hijacked the president's Twitter and issued policies for the DOD and the department wasn't aware of it? And what if he had tweeted about a terror case? Or what if he had started a war? What if he told the Sixth Fleet to attack Australia and blah, 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 blah? Yeah, what if he did? What if we had a fucking president that didn't think Twitter was the way to send out policy? What if we had a president that was a grown-up? What if we had a president that didn't tweet like an angry 17-year-old kid? Then someone shutting down the president's Twitter account would be funny, which is all it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be funny, not dangerous. It's not supposed to, you know what presidents are supposed to do when they want to set policy, when they send out messages? They're supposed to meet people in person. They're supposed to use their secured email or their secured phone lines. There's a way for a president to communicate to Congress, to the people. It's not Twitter. If you have some secret presidential shit to do, you're not supposed to tweet. You're not supposed to set a military policy. No transgenders in the military. Why? Because I said it on Twitter. And you're not supposed to try to influence the American criminal justice system when a terrorist attacker is arrested by saying the criminal justice system sucks on Twitter. Not when you're the fucking president. So kudos to this guy. And believe me, there were some tweets in support. My favorite, dear Twitter employee who shut down Trump's Twitter, you made America feel better for 11 minutes. DM me and I'll buy you a pizza. A Pizza Hut pizza, not a Papa John's pizza, because they abandoned the NFL, which is an entirely another story. What the fuck? Anyway, so, and Trump was proud that his Twitter account was taken down, because that means he's getting stuff done. I can't even imagine, like, he's sitting there with the leaders of Japan, and they're looking at this, and they have to hold a straight face. Oh, speaking of the leaders of Japan, he did tell the leaders of Japan that they should try building cars in the United States instead of shipping them over. Yeah, that'll teach some bitch Japanese car fuck new job America some fuck. Okay, he told the Japanese they should try making cars in the United States. Do you know how many cars the Japanese built in the United States last year? Just in 1 year? 4 million. 4 million cars and 4.7 million engines. They employ 90,000 American people. They spent $69 billion on parts for cars. Yeah, hey, is there anyone who stands next to Trump and just says, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. You're wrong. They build cars in America. Now, you want to talk about stealing American jobs? What you need to look at is how the South stole American jobs from the North. That's right. Detroit, Ohio, whatever. You want to get mad? Look at the fact that Southern states told car manufacturers, hey, we ain't got no unions down here. Ain't no United Auto Workers. Come on down. Build them. Don't pay people shit. That's how it happened. Yeah, that's where the jobs migrated to. Your job didn't migrate to Japan. Your job didn't migrate to Mexico. Your job migrated to Nashville and to South Carolina and to Georgia, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let's be honest about that. Again, Democrats, you remember when the Democratic Party fought for like labor and women and minorities? Now they just fight themselves. Sorry, I backtracked to another Donna Brazile story because, fuck her. Anyway, Donald Trump did it again. And we were waiting. We were waiting to see how long before he would say something stupid that would be an embarrassment to the country and show that he knows nothing about what he speaks. 4 days. Yeah, I think it was 4 days, because 3 days. When did he leave? Friday? If he left Friday, it's been 3 days. If he left Thursday, it's been 4 days. So Japan, could you try building cars in the U? Oh, yeah, you already do. Sorry about that. Let's talk about the administration and people who don't know what the fuck they're doing. Betsy DeVos, Betsy the fuck, went to a school in Kansas City. It was a private school, had 76 students, part of her Rethink School tour. And of course, there were more people outside protesting than kids that go to the school. And, you know, there were posters in the school, and the kids, many of these kids at the school identify as LGBT or questioning their gender identity, and the culture is one of tolerance, and that's why DeVos was welcome, because they want to show acceptance, okay? And, you know, they had their posters up about diversity and this and that, and when asked about the fate of a hypothetical underperforming public school, DeVos said, well, that school won't be able to survive. Just like we see in lots of other parts of our world, if people don't choose something, it can't continue to stay in business. Okay, let's look at that statement. First of all, public schools are not a business. Okay, can I say this again? Public schools are not a business. Government is not a business. It's a service. It's a service provided for the common good. Look in the Constitution, where they talk about the general welfare, about making this a better fucking country. That's the purpose of public schools. Okay, they're not there to make a profit. Private schools make a profit, and private schools are not supposed to operate with public school money. This fucking choice thing, this we're going to give you vouchers, people still fall for this bullshit. It's ridiculous, okay? If you can't afford to put your kid in public school because tuition is high, and I got a feeling a private school of 76 people is going to have a high tuition, a little $3,000 voucher check from the government ain't going to put you over the top. Not if tuition is, I don't know, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 a semester, which really isn't out of line. That's what a lot of public schools cost. Now, what she didn't mention was her public school to private prison pipeline. Because that's what it is, people. That's what it is. Keep taking money out of public schools. Keep making public schools worse. Where do those kids end up? In private prisons. Who own private prisons? The people her family plays golf with. Amazing. Amazing. Knows nothing about schools. No experience in education. Yet runs Department of Education. Now, this article, and don't think this was some right-wing puff piece. This is written by the Daily Beast, which is kind of left-wing, I think. But anyway, they said, well, Betsy DeVos isn't that bad because she doesn't set policy. She only enforces policy. The problem with that, of course, is that she will choose which policies to enforce. which ones do you think she's really going to enforce? The ones that help public schools? No. If you're dumb enough to believe that, fuck, you probably went to public school. That's a joke. I went to public school. Public school was great. New York had great public schools, and then they took the money out of them. California had not so great public schools. They're a lot worse. Why? Because they took the money out of them. And every public school there is going to be worse. Why? Because they're going to take the money out of them. But you have the money to put your kid in private school, don't you? Oh, shit, you don't? Oh, wow, you're poor, white, working class in a southern state, and you don't have the money to put your kid in the Well, you voted right. Good for you. Don't worry, if your kid gets sick, you can take him to the hospital. Oh, shit, no, you can't take him to the hospital because you you don't have health insurance anymore. But don't worry, because everything will be safe. There won't be a mass shooting. Oh, shit, yeah, there will be a mass shooting because there's absolutely no control over who can buy a gun. Oh, well, good luck with all that. At least you can find a place to live. Oh, shit, no, you can't because Ben Carson is in charge of housing and knows absolutely fucking nothing. Sorry, it's been a long-ass podcast, and I didn't even get into sports this week because, you know, I like talking sports, but I didn't. But I will leave you on something funny. If you want to have some fun, just Google Al Green questioning Ben Carson. Congressman Al Green questioned Ben Carson on housing and urban development budget cuts. Ben Carson knew nothing. When I say that knew nothing, I don't mean he knew a little. He knew nothing. The man asked him how much the cuts were going to be. Well, that was the Ben Carson answer. Then he asked, what will be cut? And then he offered Ben Carson. Ben Carson had people behind him. He said, you can ask your staff. And Ben was like, no, I don't need to ask them. I'm just comfortable not fucking knowing a thing. It's a beautiful thing. You got to watch it. You need a laugh. It's Monday. That's it. That's all I got. It's a long ass podcast. I love you and thank you for listening. I want to give a shout out to my new friend Cassandra down in Austin, who came to the Velveeta room where I did shows and talked to me about what I do. And she listens to my podcast, and I so appreciate it. I will say this, and it's in my monthly blog, newsletter, yapping that I send out. The holidays are upon us. It's November. Listen, people will say it's a year since the election and the world hasn't ended, which is how low the bar is, actually. But it's true. The world hasn't ended. The holidays are coming up. Look for something fun. Look for something charitable. I donate to a charity called Shoes That Fit. It's online, shoesthatfit.org. They buy shoes for kids. I was lucky enough to go to a school and hand out sneakers to children. You got to be kidding. It was the most beautiful thing to see some of these kids' faces. Look, if you get to see a kid's face light up in the holiday season, you're done, okay? Anytime, but particularly with the holidays coming up, that wherever you live, there's some kind of Toys for Tots drive. There's some kind of food drive. Give them a couple of bucks. Give them what you can. Give them some time if you can do it. And have a happy holiday season. And if some idiot comes up to you and says, they're taking Christmas out of Christmas, some bitch, and just say happy holidays. Slap them in the side of the head. You know why? Because that's what Jesus would do. I love you. Thanks for listening. There won't be a podcast next week. I'm going to be in France. I'm going over there to on vacation. Believe it or not, that's a whole nother story. I'll tell you about that when I get back. Keep listening, keep reading, keep thinking. I don't know what to say about these shootings. Nothing changes if nothing changes. I always love quoting my friend Jack, and sadly, nothing's changed. Thank you for listening.